Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, your TalkSport Daily Podcast host, Andy Goldstein. Also the host of the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m, but more about that later on. We begin with John Barnes. He was on The Breakfast Show with Laura Woods and Tony Cascarino, and the topic was, of course, racism. John Barnes was saying that racism isn't football's fault, but society's fault.
We're now joined by Liverpool legend John Barnes. John, this is coming up time and time again. I've been watching you speak about this on the news the last couple of days as well. How do we get this out of the game, or at least move it in the right direction?
We have to get it out of society before we can get it out of the game. It's impossible to get out of the game as long as it exists in all walks of society. As with homophobia or sexism, you can't target any one industry. You can't target Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein and say, well, sexism. If Harvey Weinstein goes to prison, there's got to be no more sexism. It's ridiculous. So we're doing it the wrong way around. Mm-hmm. Because these incidents keep on happening, and until we get rid of it in society, it'll exist in all walks of society, of which football is just one.
Mm-hmm. John, we heard Sancho talking, and he spoke about, you know, falling out of love with the game. He feared that. Did you ever get to that situation where you felt, John, that your love of the game that you grew up and loved every moment of, that times you questioned it?
Of course not, because that's got nothing to do with football. Mm-hmm. You could get it walking down the street. You love football because of the game, not because of some idiot who's going to shout at you from the street. Now, if Jordan is going to fall out in love with football, let him give up football. And then I'm going to the real world as a young black man without an education, without being able to play football, then he'll see what it's really like to be a black person who is racially abused. So as much as footballers want to talk about how terrible it is for them, look at what's happening with the black community of kids who don't have an education, they haven't got jobs. And if he thinks that that's bad, let him go into the real world and see what real discrimination is about. So, you know, I think that we're now coming full circle in talking about, we're trying to do something to change. So let's use these black superstar footballers to tell us what we should do and tell us how terrible it is for them. What they should do to use their voice, talk about discrimination where it really hurts people in the inner cities with kids who can't get jobs or opportunities. I heard he signed a nice new contract. Is he willing to give that contract up because he's falling out of love of football? I don't think he is. So, you know, let's not get it blown out of proportion.
And the theme continued with Jim White and Simon Jordan, whose guest Troy Townsend was alluding to the fact that Jadon Sancho's privileged position doesn't mean he can't relate or discuss fighting racism either.
The problem has never gone away. It's being discussed more. It's out in the open more. I think the media, who we know have a massive part to play on this agenda in terms of how we steer the narrative around it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's for the good. A lot of the times, I don't believe that's for the good. And a lot of time, it fuels the opinion of the people who are actually spouting that kind of abuse. I like our young people to have an opinion. I don't care whatever Jadon Sancho's wealth is. He's got an opinion. He's a young man who, you know, I had the privilege of sitting in, he sat in one of my sessions when he was about 14. And you kind of got the sense of he wanted to talk. He could talk.
Yeah.
He was going to be open about his experiences, but also felt that he could potentially be in a position to be able to talk about it and influence other people. I don't think we should dismiss that. And whilst I get what John's saying, and I appreciate what John's saying, you know, the power of someone like Jadon Sancho's voice, which has come very quickly as a young man.
Sure.
We should be able to acknowledge it and appreciate it as a young player who's growing up in the game and has a status in the game, and that will actually influence or have a number of young people that would want to be exactly like Jadon.
Simon, when you listen to John Barnes, you were nodding.
Yeah.
You approve of what he's saying, you go in that direction.
I approve of the of what Troy's has said about people of influence having the right to have a freedom of expression and have their vantage point and people listening to it and taking note of it because it's relational to his experiences. And his vantage point has great prevalence. I think John Barnes is very pragmatic. I think he has a balanced point of view about all sides of discrimination, all vantage points, how people look at the world. I think he has a view that's centered in, you know, looking at these the entire perspective rather than just one strand of it. And I like the way John spoke on Question Time. I think he does himself a credit. But I also think that in this world that we live in, nothing is ever just binary. You have to be pragmatic about your thinking. You have to be solution orientated. It's all well and good calling out a problem, but then we need real ideals behind what the solutions are, who's going to own it, how it's going to be done. Let's be clear. If we're saying that sport is a conduit for this kind of, you know, abuse, which we are saying to some extent, this business is awash with money. It is not just the Premier League. It is awash with money. Yeah. It is a sport problem. The PFA is awash with money, right? Because it gets £27 million a year from the Premier League deals. There has to be a bigger investment into making sure that if this is becoming a societal problem that's becoming infiltrating our sport, and sport is being used to further the attention for these mindless, drivel-orientated people, then we have to be serious about the solution.
Back to the Alan Brazil Breakfast Show without Alan Brazil and, of course, Laura Woods and Tony Cascarino. We're talking to Big Sam, this time about Michael Owen and Newcastle United.
In my time, he never really looked comfortable and was always, whenever possible, flying back down to Liverpool, you know. So it was never a comfortable move for him, and one that... I don't know why he took it, to be, in all honesty. I don't know if he was that against it. Why did he come to Newcastle United and not wait? I think it was from Real Madrid, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Not wait for a more suitable club, like, you know. But there you have it. And I think that his time with me certainly was more about not him not wanting to play or get back to Liverpool when he can. He certainly did that, but it was the fact that it was very difficult to keep him fit and get him on the field.
Mm. And Sam, what is the strange thing as well, that he's quite open about his fall down with Alan Shearer, their relationship, as obviously Alan became manager in his final few games at Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't know the exact story, to be honest with you, Tony, but apart from all I've heard off a third party, and this was never off Alan, he didn't play when Alan asked him to play, and I think it was the last game of the season.
Yeah, Villa away.
Relegated Villa away, you know. Yeah. So I think that was the big fallout, because Alan obviously felt he could play, and obviously Michael felt that he couldn't for whatever reason, and I think that is why that difficult situation still arises today if they ever bumped into each other.
Sammy, he says that the fans believe their club is 10% bigger than their team is and 10% better than it actually is. So actually, he's not necessarily being completely derogatory towards the Newcastle fans, but ultimately just, I suppose, going some way to say that all fans do that. All fans think that their club is slightly bigger than it actually is.
Well, when you've got 52,000 on a regular basis, then the fans are, you know, and the size of the stadium, which is, you know, just a short walk away from the city centre, then you think in terms of a big club, in terms of its stadium and its fan base, it is. But in terms of its history, you'd have to agree that it doesn't make it a big club in history terms, because they haven't really won anything for many, many years. And I think that's what makes you a big club. The big club makes you on what you've achieved and what you've done as a football club, not on the size of your fan base. Like, you know, and I think that, you know, Manchester City has now emerged as a big club, and not just a big club in this country now, but a big club in Europe and across the world, because of the amount of success that they get by winning titles and winning trophies.
Now we can turn our attention to a bit of cricket. In a moment, we'll hear from Goffey and Durham, who are Old Trafford. don't know what they're doing there. Of course, that's the Theatre of Dreams. We all know that. But first, let's start with Guy Swindle. He was talking to Joe Root.
I imagine Jofra will be suggesting perhaps Skipper I should come on when Steve Smith comes out, or...
Hopefully Jofra's saying that when everyone comes out, and you want your bowlers to want to bowl and take wickets and have an impact, and he certainly has done that so far in his short career. He's been phenomenal for us, but as of the whole group, I thought we created a lot of chances throughout this series, done a lot of good things, so we just got to keep doing that, keep trusting the process and what's worked for us, and just try and refine it and tighten it slightly to make it as good as it possibly can be.
Slightly odd question, but are you enjoying this Ashes series and captaining the team despite all these highs and lows?
Yeah, I mean, when you're part of a series like the Ashes, you have to understand and get your head around that things are seen in extremities. Good days are filled with elation, and it's the best thing ever, and the bad days seem to be the end of the world, and trying to stay level is quite important for me, I think, trying to keep the group focused on what we know is going to work, and our strategy, if you like, and a method of how we think is going to beat Australia. But when it's all assembled and put together in that manner, it makes, when you do win, it makes it that extra bit special. The atmosphere within the ground last week, and I'm sure will be much of the same here, was electric, as it has been throughout the whole series. And that's what you want to be involved in. You want to play in those big moments. You want to play in these big games. And we've got an opportunity to do something really special this summer, with two big games to go, two big performances away of really putting a marker down in the history books. So that's a great incentive for the group, and something we want to get right.
Which begs the final question. England going to win the Ashes?
I certainly hope so. Certainly think we should be, yeah. Especially off the back of a game like that, it can carry a lot of weight, and feel like it's put us in a really good spot coming into this next game.
What do you think after the last test? I'm absolutely loving it, but it wasn't that. It was the highs are so high, the lows are so low. It was almost like he was trying to say, I'm really not enjoying it. Now, if you remember the World Cup, he's all smiles, everything's great, he's enjoying it because he's not in that captaincy position. So I was quite surprised by the answer he gave there.
It's an high pressurised job, England captain. It really is, when you think about it. You're on the front pages, you make all the decisions, and if it goes wrong, you're going to get slaughtered by it. There's loads of media. It has a huge interest, cricket. Might not believe it, because you'll get people say cricket's boring and all that, but media presence is huge at every ground, and they've got to write something. And if the team doesn't deliver, it's the captain that gets it, not the coach. It's different to football. The captain makes all the decisions. He's the one who gets the criticism.
And they won the last test, and Ben Stokes got all the credit, and Joe got next to none, really.
Yes, but Joe Root will benefit if England win the Ashes. He'll be the captain that wins the Ashes. So it's a massive one. And this is when you go through the history of the game, and I'm critical of this, because when you look at the history of the game, whatever captain wins an Ashes series is apparently a great captain. They'll get just because they win an Ashes series. Is it realistically, does that work? Because if you think about Ricky Ponting, was a good captain, I would say, and Michael Clarke, I don't think they won the Ashes in England. Yet you could have Tim Payne winning the Ashes in England. Well, he should have won it at Edenley. He's had to wait now, and now he's got two other games to get to win one game to go home as an Ashes winning captain.
I'm Alan Brazil, and this is TalkSport Daily.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Back to Jim White now and the never outspoken Simon Jordan, who were talking with Asmir Begovic.
It really doesn't sit well with me if I can't play, and I feel like I can still give a lot to the game, and the stage of my career that I'm at, you know, I can still play a lot of games and contribute, and that's for me was the overriding factor, just to go and play games and get back out there, enjoy the game, and you know, have a lot of fun doing it.
So you're looking forward to Europa League football as well. You head to Azerbaijan, where Qarabag play. You're in Sarajevo now, though. It seems already you're well out of London.
Yeah, at the moment I am. I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to a different experience, a different culture, a different city. You know, I've heard some amazing things about Baku and the people there. So I know they're very passionate about their football, about Qarabag, and just looking forward to being a part of it. Looking forward to getting the next couple of days and getting really stuck into everything.
As you leave the Premier League for the time being, you'll give it all in the coming weeks with Qarabag. Is the intention to come back here and even prove a point, Asmir?
Well, for sure. I mean, my goal is to get back in the game, of course, just play, you know, show people what I can do, of course, and help Qarabag be successful. And then we'll take it from there. Obviously, it's a loan until January initially, and then we'll take everything as it comes after that.
We can go back to the breakfast show now. Blimey, it's like breakfast show and drive tennis, isn't it? And Simon Jordan in there as well. Breakfast show, drive, Simon Jordan. When's the sports bar coming? Oh, in a minute. It's coming up in a minute. Don't worry. This is Tony Cascarino talking Manchester United.
Can I just say on Ollie, okay?
Yeah.
There's a real rebuilding job that's going on at that football club. Now, if you look at his signings, we talked about this earlier, all positive, all come in and done well. He'll get another window in January. Now, they lost forwards. They're down on the forward side.
Lukaku, yeah, whether or not.
Sanchez, yeah. Lukaku, Daniel James has come in and done better. Now, you get to the next window. If Man United, I think they'll trust Ollie to go, we'll give you money again. Because what they did this summer is spent a lot of money bringing in players, you know, invested heavily, but all his signings have worked. So now they're going to trust him with his judgment of signings. That's a big thing to get as a manager. Because some clubs might go, here's 60, 70, 80, 90 million. You go and blow it and players don't work out who you bring into that football club, they won't want to give you 80, 90 million again. I think Man United need be in January and Ollie goes, I need this and this. Think United are back.
You think they'll back him completely?
Why?
In January.
Because he's got previous. His three first signings at the football club have all been very positive. I think they'll do it again.
Okay, we had a few more as well. Terry, a lot of these interestingly are from Man United fans. Terry says Man United will struggle to finish top six. We can't score! Exclamation mark. Greg also on Twitter says, how can you have any confidence of United finishing top four given their form since the back end of last season? So again, another United fan, Greg, alluding to the fact that their recent record under Solskjaer. Completely different to what it was when he first took over. It's almost chalk and cheese, isn't it? So, United fans worrying themselves about finishing top four. What have you got to say to Greg about that?
Yeah, well, Greg must realise that where they're coming from, it was a long way behind the eight ball. Okay, your club was in, it was decimated. Mm. And I think too much has gone wrong. The recruitment, I think Mourinho's style of football had got a little bit outdated. They've got a long way to catch up, but I think they're on the road to rebuilding a football club. And that is very important. I don't see United's situation nowhere near as bad. I saw them against Chelsea. They, you could argue, got away with it slightly. They were very clinical in that game. They missed a penalty at Wolverhampton, who we know is a good side.
Yeah.
We all know Wolves are a good side. Could have easily won that game. Okay? They've missed a penalty against Crystal Palace, who could have given the lead. Mm. You know, you changed the two penalty scenarios, and United now are in a really good, healthy start. So I don't think it's as... I think too many people are looking at United as a half is glass, the glass is half full. Nearly got that.
Yeah.
You know.
They think glass half empty, glass half full.
Yeah, and I think they're looking something at, in the glass.
They're looking at it the wrong way round. Yeah. I personally think United nowhere near as bad. They've still got a lot of quality players.
Now we can check in with Kickoff, or as it's known, the Sports Bar warm up show with Hugh Woozencroft and Danny Mills.
Wow, Danny Mills, don't you? Dig your own grave.
Why?
Oh, why? Because that chappie's just phoned up. Try to defend yourself, and all you did was butt in, butt in, and butt in.
What's your view on it, Ryan?
My view on it is, what Wilder's done, but bear in mind, Billy Sharp has only played 5 minutes. He come on as a sub the first game at season and scored the goal. We absolutely should have got 3 points from Bournemouth. No denying that. If you reckon you've watched
but you
the game...
Didn't.
No, I know we didn't. Look, let me just finish. See what I mean? You're butting in. We should have. We should have got a draw with Leicester.
Yeah, but should have. But you didn't.
But we didn't, right? Stop butting in. I know that. I'm not thick. We didn't, obviously. We got 0 points. We got 3 points against Palace, and we got 2 points against Chelsea. That first half against Chelsea, we plated them, gave them, like you say, the worst players. Because someone makes a mistake, it doesn't mean they're the worst player. Does that mean De Gea for Man U, because he makes all their mistakes, he's the worst goalkeeper
league? But if every player in the team...
You keep saying, no, yeah, that's it, every player. They're not worst players. There's a lot more worst players. Bloody hell, Mesut Ozil wouldn't even get in Sheffield. He wouldn't even get in Leeds team.
I think you might do. He's only won the World Cup, and I think the German Player of the Year about four times.
Poppers won World Cup. Wow, do you know what I mean?
They'd all get in those sides. They'd both get in those sides.
Ridiculous.
So you wouldn't have Ozil or Pogba at Sheffield United?
No, because they've got egos. Why would Chris Wilder, an hard-working team...
Well, I tell you what, then. You put your house up for the bet.
United will stay up.
You put your house, because you said 100% that they're going to stay up.
I'll put it against you. Never mind the book, eh? I'll put it against you.
Listen,
I cannot believe that.
So if Sheffield United don't stay up, you'll give me your house, yeah?
100%.
And now, of course, to the main reason why you decided to download this podcast, and that's the best bits of the sports one. In fact, I've got an email here. There's no name on it. Dear Andy, loving the TalkSport Daily podcast, if only for the sports bar best bits. Is there any way I can listen again to the entirety of the show? You can, actually. You can go to the website, TalkSport.com, and just press listen again. Thanks very much. Oh, I don't know how he would reply to that. Almost sounds fake. Anyway, here are the best bits of the best show on national radio. His words, not mine. The sports bar. Now, I'll tell you what I'm nervous about, Jay, is of course we need the phone lines for the Midnight Train of Madness. Where are we at, boys? We're working on it, and we're not working on it,
no,
are we?
Don't say there's a fault on the train. There's a fault on the train.
I mean, are there leaves on the track? Is that what it is? There are leaves on the...
A replacement bus service.
Fingers crossed. Hope amongst hope.
Oh, God.
It's time for...
All aboard! Tickets, please. Tickets.
Oh, it is moaning, Mo. How are you moaning?
Maybe he's not going to moan anymore.
Oh, maybe.
No. I want to ask you a trivial question.
Okay. Well, listen, you know that between me and Jason, we know the answer to everything. Okay?
Put the tension music on, please.
Producing the show, you obviously have never met Josh before. I mean, he needs an email on about 2 hours'
tension
notice.
Bed. Just put the tension bed on.
Oh, look at him getting all bossy. Jeez. Bossy, Mo.
Josh, just put the tension bed on, Josh. Is that right? Is that too loud for you, Mo?
No, it's perfect.
Okay, go on then. What's your question?
It's really easy. Just think about it well.
Listen, don't say it's really easy. Every question is easy if you know the answer.
Adam is my cousin from both my mum's side and my dad's side. How come?
Well, they must have just remarried then.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, if they married one another, yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's true. It's right. I'm right.
Well done, Jake.
I've got it. I've nailed it.
Well done.
No.
Well done.
Yeah. Next one, Mo.
Just think about it right. Well, honestly, you'll get it.
We've just thought about it. We got it.
I've got it right.
Do you want me to tell you the answer then?
Yeah, go on then.
If my dad's brother married my mum's sister, their kid would be my cousin from both sides.
That's what I said there.
I'm going to change your name, Moaning Mo, to Boring Mo. How about that?
That was like one of the worst phone calls ever.
Oh, he's gone.
Awful.
Up your game, Mo.
And that's it for another TalkSport Daily podcast. Well done to each and every one of you. In fact, if you've got a moment, put your right hand in the air, bend it at the elbow and pat yourself on the back. Well done. Good work, everyone. There'll be another one of these tomorrow at the same time-ish. I mean, you're never going to check, are you? If it goes into your inbox about 5 a.m. or 10 past 5, everyone's asleep, unless, of course, you work through the night. And in which case, you don't want to listen to this now because you want to listen to it later, if you get my drift. But well done for downloading, well done for listening, well done for subscribing, well done just for breathing. It's apparently, the odds of us even being born are a gillion to one, so the fact we're even here listening to the show is a big plus for... Anyway, you understand where I'm going with this. Thank you for taking the time to download it. Remember, of course, the Sports Bar is back Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. But how about this, everyone? From Wednesday, Thursday and Friday of this week, I will be replacing Adrian Durham. Well, I say replacing him. I mean, I won't be dyeing my hair ginger and wearing really loud shirts, but I will be sitting in for him alongside Goffrey from 4 p.m. today, the next day and the day after. But anyway, thank you for downloading. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.